And welcome back to Our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis. And with us today, Joseph Mancini. He is the Executive Director of the Arc of Philadelphia. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Let's get started right away with first a brief description of what's the mission statement for the Arc.
The Arc serves individuals with intellectual disabilities and developmental delays by advocating on their behalf in the community, school, and home.
This is a national organization, isn't it?
It is. There's over 700 chapters across the United States. There's one ARC in every state. In Pennsylvania alone, we have over 35 different ARC chapters. We all do a variety of different programs and events, but what we do share is the advocacy efforts on a state, local, and neighborhood level.
What's the history behind this? Are you a quasi-government agency? How does this come to be?
We do a little bit of everything, actually. The ARC of Philadelphia is one of the oldest chapters, if not the oldest chapter in the United States. It started in 1948 by a group of parents who were suing the school district on behalf of their children that they had access to free and appropriate public education just like anyone else. At the time, the school had said that individuals with disabilities like the people that we serve wouldn't benefit from a public education. And parents disagreed and saw regression with their family members and sued the state. And we really are part of the basis behind having special education in this country.
I knew it had started by a parental group. And I thought, well, you know what? It's pretty much kind of the same thing now. When you have a child that has a developmental or an intellectual disability, you're really doing a battle on your own to get access to education, housing, and planning for their future.
Yeah, for sure. It feels like you're alone, but there are organizations like our own that are out there and wanting to support the ARC in particular. This is, like I said earlier, our mission. So even though families can feel isolated and alone, there are plenty of supports out there. It's just accessing them. So we encourage everyone in the city of Philadelphia or across the United States, find your local ARC chapter, become a member, and we can definitely help you feeling less alone and more supported.
One of the things I saw when I was looking at your website, you advocate with and for all children and adults. And something about that statement with, the inclusiveness of that. So parents and your clients themselves shape the ARC too.
Our job is to work our way out of a job here. We're trying to create self-advocates across the country that can go out and speak on their own behalf, understand their rights, whether it's in the school system or just in the community in general, and stand up and scream for their needs and help encourage other people to stand up for their needs and their wants and their desires. Our goal is to make sure all individuals with disability or without are living an everyday life, and you can only do that through self-advocacy.
And that's empowering.
We hope it is. And we know I'm lucky enough to work with and for a lot of wonderful self-advocates. And I see our mission fulfilled on small levels and large levels every day. And we couldn't do it without encouraging and educating the people that we serve and the families that we serve.
When we talk about intellectual and developmental disabilities, are they the same?
No.
Who are your clients?
So our clients are, like we said, intellectual and developmental disabilities. And intellectual usually refers to a cognitive impairment. You'll see that referred to in Down syndrome or cognitive disabilities. Those type of disabilities can come from a traumatic brain injury, a birth defect. There's a variety of different ways you can become cognitively impaired. Developmental disabilities, on the other hand, are a delay in your development. So that's where you'll see autism fall under that category. Or my daughter, who has a developmental disability, has dyspraxia. It's a coordination disorder that has some social components to it. So they are all housed under the same umbrella, but are two uniquely different disabilities.
We're talking about disabilities, but then that also means that they have different abilities too.
Absolutely. We refer to these disabilities, quote unquote, they're just characteristics of an individual. It's like having brown hair or brown eyes or anything else. And we encourage people to understand and learn more about an individual's disability and what that entails. Just so you can look at it as being tall or wearing glasses, it's just a part of someone who it is. It doesn't make them who they are.
Well, so who do you serve?
We serve adults and children with disabilities. We serve the family members of adults and children with disabilities. But we go a little bit beyond that as well. We're trying to serve anyone that's in this population. So other providers, we help educate and train. Teachers in the school system, legislators to understand what kind of laws they're making that are impacting our people in what way, positive and negatively. We are looking to serve everyone that touches the life of someone with a disability.
And when do people come to you? Is it when they are first diagnosed or when they're children? Or do people come to you after an accident that maybe does give them a cognitive disability for the remainder of their life?
Sure. I had a professor once say to me at the University of Scranton, there are three types of people in this world. There are those with a disability, those that will have a disability, either through injury or age, or those that are dead. So everyone is impacted in some way by this at some point in their lives, whether it's a loved one or themselves. We see people in a variety of different ages. Most of the people that we help come through our advocacy services. We see them at early intervention or pre-K levels. We see them throughout school from kindergarten up through high school. We service adults in secondary education or adults trying to find housing or access to technology. So really, we run from birth to death and service any population. We serve people that are born with disabilities. We serve people that have received disabilities later in their lives or had an injury that caused a disability later in their life.
Anybody can have a disability, and we're all just one accident away. We're one birth incident away from a disability within our family unit, and we just don't realize the sheer numbers that we're talking about.
Yeah, there's 800,000 members of the ARC of the ARC U.S. across the board, people that are registered members of the ARC. That doesn't touch on the family members or the people that serve the family members or people that aren't registered with the ARC or with other agencies. So the number is really powerful when you sit down and think about it. My family alone, my daughter, 11 years ago, was diagnosed with her developmental disability. My brother fell and had a significant injury. Now, while he's not intellectually or developmentally impacted by it, now has a physical disability from his accident. So it's impacted just in my family, two of the seven or eight closest people in my family in the last few years. So it can happen to anyone.
Are there any numbers that you work with at the ARC for disability?
So this is me being grossly unprepared as far as a national statistic. But in our area alone, so we are a very small organization. We have about eight people on staff, and we do some pretty significant things with those eight people. We refer to them as small but mighty, and we're all over the city of Philadelphia and Delaware County. We serve, in our advocacy efforts, about 100 families per year. We do countless more in resources and events. I'd say our impact reaches well into the thousands of people we serve between special program and resources and advocacy efforts.
Do you offer resources to people? Are you a middleman? Can you help people when they get this information, when they find out about a disability?
Absolutely. We know enough to know that we don't know everything, and we know the right people that do. So when people come in and they're asking about housing or healthcare or employment, we can service them in the ways that our programs are equipped, but we know that there are more resources out there, and we try to get them connected with the right people.
And getting connected early is vital, isn't it?
Early intervention is key. The earlier you can get services into someone's life, the more progress that individual will make throughout. And that's not just with disabilities. That's anywhere. The more support you have for an individual and early supports, the better off that individual will be.
How alone is a family when they get a diagnosis about a child?
So I'm really proud of the fact that our city is filled with a ton of great resources, whether it be ARC or other programs that can provide the same resources. But there is thousands of people on the waiting list for Medicaid waiver services to be able to get out and get their services paid for. There's countless others that don't understand or know that there's services out there. And the people that are providing the services are limited in their capacity. So although there is a ton of great supports out there, families have the right to feel alone because there's not enough to serve all of the people we need to.
And a lot of people don't even understand the education process, what their rights are.
Yeah, I work this every single day, and I learn something new as we're advocating on behalf of people, individuals with IEPs, or we're working within the school systems. The schools themselves sometimes don't know or aren't kept up to date on the newest laws and regulations. So it is an ever-changing process, and it's difficult to really keep up with. So families that aren't immersed in this every single day could feel lost.
And, I had a guest on who has autism, and she told me that, one of her regrets was that she did not know that she didn't have to graduate at 18.
Yeah, anyone in special education can go up to the age of 21. We call that transition age. 14 to 21 in Pennsylvania is transition age, and we mean by transition is moving into that second part of their lives as they graduate and start to navigate employment or secondary education. But that does go up until the age of 21.
Is there a different, curriculum for somebody who is doing this transition period?
So everybody's individualized education plan should be unique to that individual and the supports that they need. So whether you graduate at 18 or choose to extend your school year to 21, it'll still be based off of what you're doing within your IEP.
Are schools able to prepare someone for that second phase of life after you get out of school? Or does it take other organizations to step in?
It takes a village to raise every child, right? So school systems are as prepared as they can be and are doing their best, I believe, in the efforts to support our individuals. But it does take a variety of different agencies to make sure that that transition from high school to adulthood is successful.
Is the diploma the goal in high school, or is it life skill?
I think it's a combination of both, right? So we all know that finding employment without a diploma is, a high school diploma at least, is impossible, even for those lower level employment opportunities. So we love any individual to make sure they graduate with a diploma, but it's just as important to have those life skills to be able to navigate their everyday life once they graduate from there. So I think it's a combination of both, but learning the skills to be able to succeed in the future is very important.
Mm-hmm. And what are those skills that one should leave with?
I mean, it's the same with or without disabilities, right? It's money management. It's interpersonal skills. It's interview skills. It's the ability to care for yourself, find your own health coverage, making sure you're taking care of your body correctly, maintaining healthy relationships. All of the things I'm trying to teach my 20-year-old now that he's failing to do are the same things we're teaching individuals with disabilities.
What do you see? We're talking about and concentrating on education right now, but for the population that's out there, especially in this Delaware Valley region, what do you see? What's the greatest need that these individuals are facing right now?
There's so many that you want to raise to the top. If I had to pick out of one, I would say housing. Housing is very limited for individuals with disabilities in the city of Philadelphia or Delaware County. We need to provide more affordable housing options for the individuals that we serve. I don't have the answer to how we go about doing that. I know the ARC of Philadelphia itself is handing out $2.2 million in low-interest loans to housing developers that dedicate a quarter of their units for life for individuals with disabilities. We've already handed out over $1.8 million to three different projects. And when I say low-interest loans, that's the requirement for it, but these housing projects don't have to pay that money back. They apply for it. We vet these organizations and decide which ones would be appropriate for our funding. So the ARC of Philadelphia is doing their small part to make sure that we're developing some housing, but it's not nearly enough. But we could talk about the access to medical professionals that are trained appropriately to help our individuals and are willing to take our individuals into their practice. We can talk about the access to technology and how that gap is widening and individuals don't have the access to appropriate technology that would help them have long-term competitive employment or live independently or just communicate on a daily basis with people they come in contact with. We could talk about the access to long-term competitive employment. The disability unemployment rate is twice the national average for someone without a disability. And when we do get our people hired, we get them into the food, flowers, and filth. So it's not something that our individuals are necessarily interested in doing. It's just, you know, cleaning or gardening or cooking. It's just opportunities rather than what they want. So, I mean, those four alone are huge disadvantages for our population. And, you know, there's a million other things we could talk about that we'd want to grow support for.
But, you know, every one of those is economic, too.
Absolutely.
You cannot afford housing if you can find it. It's not there for any price. Access to medical, the technology, you've got to be able to afford to have it. And employment, the same thing. You're going to get a low wage. Yeah. These jobs don't pay a living wage. Keeps them just at the poverty level.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, the population that we serve is usually economically depressed. And whether that's providing additional funding for their medical care or the fact that they're living in impoverished areas or that family members can't get out to work and provide additional funding because they're spending their time at home in care, or our people aren't giving these same opportunities to make a livable wage. It just is a vicious cycle, and unfortunately, it keeps our people at the poverty level.
I've heard that story before. And even if you graduate, getting that job is virtually impossible.
Well, not only is it virtually impossible for the employment, once you graduate at 18 or 21 or whatever age you choose to, if you're in special education, all of those services that you're receiving while in school you're not eligible for anymore. You get put on a list, and you wait for your waivers to get paid for that. So if you're receiving occupational therapy or physical therapy or counseling while you're in school, all of that is done once you graduate. So that's why people extend to 21, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's coming right back when you become an adult.
You have to plan so far ahead for every step of, you know, development with a child or with anyone with a disability.
Yeah, and unfortunately, a step in the wrong direction can take away some of your benefits. If you work too many hours, you could lose your Social Security. If you're getting health coverage from here, you might not be able to get Medicaid waiver services. So there's so many hoops and barriers to dodge to make sure that you're not losing the things that are you're given right as a citizen. It's really difficult to navigate.
Oh, okay, now that we've depressed ourselves enough, let's say that, of course, there are some resources, there are some helping hands out there, and one of them, the Arc of Philadelphia, part of a network, 700 chapters across the country. There is one close to you in the Delaware Valley. Well, I should say in Philadelphia and Delaware County. It is the Arc of Philadelphia, and you can find them at ARC, that's ARC, arcphiladelphia.org, arcphiladelphia.org. My guest today is the executive director of the Arc of Philadelphia, Joseph Mancini. And when you go to that website, though, you end up at Spark as well. So you want to really quickly explain the relationship there so we don't get confused when we go there.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to be part of a family of services, a family of organizations called Spark Services. And while the Arc is our advocacy arm of that family, we do special programming and advocacy efforts on behalf of individuals with disabilities. Spark Services is our provider entity. They provide services that are paid through the Medicaid waiver services or a Medicaid waiver or through insurance. And that's everything from cultural arts to neurodiversity in the workplace, which is an employment program, to in-home habilitation. All of the services that individuals need to thrive in the community are provided through Spark Services.
Okay. So what kind of support does a family receive, or an individual who maybe is disabled later in life, what kind of support can one receive from the government?
So if you're lucky enough to get placed on a Medicaid waiver, and there's a variety of different ones, and I won't bore everyone, but some are consolidated, which means, and some are have caps, so you could either have unlimited spending or very limited spending. You can then designate the money that is set aside for you as receiving waiver services for particular programs. Now, all of this money is pulled together and has to be used for a variety of different things. So a certain chunk could be used for transportation. A certain chunk could be used for day programs. A certain chunk could be used for employment services. So you have the access to all of these things we mentioned earlier where these gaps are. You have the access through Medicaid services to provide support for them. It's just a matter of how much money is designated to you to be able to use.
And does that include housing?
So there is supports coordination in there that helps individuals find housing and go out, but there's no money dedicated in form of creating housing opportunities for individuals with disabilities.
So we're back again to the no place to live.
Yeah, it's a matter of the opportunities that are available to you. So it would be like the waiver can designate money set aside for people to have go to day programs and spend 8 to 4 learning and increasing daily living outcomes. But if there are no day programs available to them, there's nowhere to go. Now, we're lucky enough to have a variety of day programs across the city of Philadelphia, but when it comes to housing, there are very limited options.
Let's go back now to something that you mentioned, technology. And I know that you just went on a tech tour.
Yeah, continuing my tech tour, actually.
Oh, well, count today. So when I thought of technology and the disabled, I thought, wow, what a great equalizer that could be. It would allow someone access to social interaction and employment, et cetera. And then as I'm reading, I realize that you're saying that no, technology is actually, the gap is widening there.
So it's widening in the fact that individuals don't have access to technology. Technology would absolutely bridge the gap and help improve communication and supports for people that are trying to find employment or just access the community at a greater rate like you and I would. That tech is there and is built to be supportive of these individuals, but our individuals either don't have access to the funding to afford that technology, don't have the training or understanding of how to use the technology, or don't realize that the technology itself actually exists. So what the Arc of Philadelphia is trying to do is build areas where individuals can come in and see some of this technology in use. We were lucky enough to receive a grant from the Coleman Institute in Colorado where we built an assistive technology, or what we're just calling technology showroom, because all technology is assistive, right? So we built a technology showroom that encourages transition age youth, that population we talked about before, 14 to 21 in the school system, to think about living independently through the use of technology. So when you come into our showroom that Coleman granted us to build, you'll see TVs that come on voice-activated and lights that are voice-activated. You'll see alarm systems and video remote supports, along with a variety of other affordable, easy-to-use, accessible technology. We do that in order to help encourage, again, students to live independently. But we were doing that, and that's great, right? We're showcasing this technology, but none of our individuals understand how to use it. So now we received another grant through the ARC of the United States and Comcast to train individuals on how to use the technology we're showcasing, which, again, that's fantastic. Now we're showing it off. We're training people how to use it, and it'll be up to 50 at the end of this year. But how do we get that tech into the hands of the people that need it the most? So we wrote another grant through the Comcast Foundation and NBC Universal, and we're lucky enough to receive that. So now not only do we showcase the technology, do we train on how to use the technology, but we're sending care packages of over $700 home to anyone that completes our technology showroom, our technology training course. So we're, you know, in a very small way, getting tech into the hands of the people that need it the most.
It sounds very much like what you were saying about a parent before. Apply here. Wait in line here. Put this together with this program, and you've cobbled this together.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it earlier or not, but everything we do at the ARC of Philadelphia is free. We do it through supports, donations, or grant-funded, or our sister organization helps offset some of the costs of these unique programs that we're running. So we're a makeshift band of eight running around the city of Philadelphia trying to create opportunities through partnerships, and this is one of the ways we went about doing that.
Okay, and I should mention that anyone can become a part of the ARC and your work through volunteer. And I'm going to guess you're looking for businesses who want to partner with you.
Absolutely, and partner with us in a variety of ways. So we're looking for volunteers. We're looking for donations and sponsorships of our programs and events. We have a ton of events that go on a regular basis that support this population. But corporate sponsorships would be huge. If we could find a partner like we have in Comcast who recognized the benefit of the work that we're doing and want to support it monetarily as well as through staffing initiatives, that would be great. Another great partner we have locally, Microsoft at the King of Prussia office, is providing trainings for educators in our area. They're providing trainings for the youth that we're serving. They've donated money to our tech room. They're helping. We have a really great program that we're starting in the next couple months where we're going to teach pre-employment skills to students in Kenya, Africa, through the technology used at the Microsoft office. So we developed a pre-employment program, and we're able to support not only the area of Philadelphia, but through this tech, other countries with students with disabilities.
Is this sort of a pilot program?
It is. It's we like to think of ourselves as a bunch of mad scientists here at the ARC of Philadelphia. So we see opportunities, and we use and leverage our partnerships to create unique opportunities. And it's great. It's a little outside of our area that we serve, but it creates great publicity, and it allows us to bring more attention to what we're trying to do, and hopefully more monetary value attached to that.
And when you do something for one person, the success story can be applied towards a larger group.
Absolutely. If we can show that we can be successful in these pilot programs, whether it's gaining technology access to people or training people in pre-employment skills, which we're doing in Kenya, but we're also doing in the Philadelphia School District, groups see that it's successful organizations, and they want to bring that on for themselves as well.
And so let's talk a little bit more. You've got the technology showroom. Are you working on the medical issues?
We are lucky enough to have a Health Meet program, which was initially funded through the ARC of the United States through a grant there. And the grant ran out a few years ago, but we saw the impact of it and how wonderful it was, and we wanted to keep it going. So we're currently partnering with Drexel Medical, and they're sending over med students to come over and provide free medical assessments, really non-invasive assessments, head-to-toe checks for individuals with disabilities. And then if we see that there's an issue, we then refer out to medical professionals to help treat that issue. It not only provides medical assessments for individuals that don't often get to the doctor, but it also, which is the real key part here, is trains future medical professionals on how to work with people with disabilities.
I thought that that was probably the real purpose behind all of this. And is this something that you're doing through law enforcement with every professional, I should say?
Yeah, so we have a Pathways to Justice program that focuses on training for individuals in law enforcement as well as the court systems. We're working on bringing that to Philadelphia. We're working with educators on making a more inclusive environment through the ARC of PA and their Include Me from the Start program. We're touching base with schools throughout the city of Philadelphia and variety. In that way, we're providing our own trainings and conferences. So really, any possible professional group that may have contact with individuals with disabilities, we're trying to train on. Businesses and recreation, we have a program called Inclusive Pass, or Inc Pass for short, and that trains businesses on how to support customers with intellectual disabilities and developmental delays by giving them basic disability information, etiquette, situational scenarios that they may come across with individuals and how to support their suggestions on how to make the environments more inclusive, either through sensory rooms, products, or just general layout. So we're trying to educate all aspects of the community on how to support our population.
And inclusion is the ultimate goal?
Absolutely. There's no reason why an individual with a disability shouldn't have access to the community as you or I do. There's no reason why they shouldn't be allowed to live an everyday life, go to the movies, have a relationship, hold a job, have health care. Anything that you expect for yourself or your loved one should be the same expectations that we're providing for people with disabilities.
And an individual who is hearing this, how can they get involved? And how can we help with the advocacy part of this, which is your main function?
If they want to get involved, all they have to do is visit our website. My contact information is on there. Reach out in regards to questions across the state of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, or really anywhere across the country. My job is to connect you with the right people and make sure everybody has access to the resources that they need. What was the second part of the question?
How do we get involved? What can we do, especially if we're hearing this and we say, yeah, I want more inclusive or accessible homes or living. What's that term called?
Accessible environments or inclusive environments?
If I want inclusive environments around, if I want to make sure that my school is doing what it is supposed to be doing. I mean, how does an individual get involved in the advocacy part of your work?
There's plenty of opportunities. Make your voice heard at school board meetings. Come to ARC conferences and volunteer at the ARC. Speak to your legislators. We so often have a population of individuals that are self-serving, but not in a bad way. Like, we're out talking about our family members and the people that we love, and we're advocating on behalf of them. But it would be so much stronger of an effort if individuals that didn't have a direct contact to somebody with a disability just understand and know how impactful and important it is to make sure we're advocating on behalf of everyone. Disability rights are human rights. So if we can get people that aren't connected necessarily to the cause by a loved one and they're just advocating on behalf of because it's what's right, that would be just as impactful. That would be more impactful.
And if we go to your website, what do we find?
You'll find a description of a variety of our programs. You'll see we're actually under construction right now. We have a wonderful person working on our website at the ARC of Philadelphia Spark Services, and we're recreating everything. So you'll see information on our tech room, on our housing initiative, on our health meet, on our youth leadership programs. You'll see opportunities to donate. You'll see opportunities to become a member. You'll see opportunities to sponsor events and programs. You'll see contact information there for myself and all my staff. And we are a 24/7 operation. So you reach out. I provide my cell phone on my business cards and on the website. We are taking calls at all hours. Anybody that's interested in more information or ways to help, please, please reach out.
And you just mentioned membership. Who should be a member?
Everyone. Everyone in the world at all times should be a member. But no, everyone should become a member. It's great information and resources, but it really is positive for providers, for educators, for family members and individual and self-advocates. There's a lot of great information and resources that comes out of our site.
So the able and the disabled can reach out to the ARC, find resources, opportunities to help, opportunities to get involved, and opportunities for potential growth.
Absolutely. And keeping in mind, too, you may be doing this like I was 20 years ago. I came into this field because I worked at an institution and somebody said it looked like I could take a punch. And that's how I got involved at 20 years old. But, you know, 10 or so years later when I had my daughter, I now have a child that I'm caring for with a developmental disability. So it didn't necessarily impact me then. I fell in love with the field and maintained it. But now I have a loved one in my family that I'm creating programs and fighting for just as much as I am for anyone else that's out there.
And as your professor said, there are those who have a disability. There are those who have a disability, and there are those who will get a disability.
Yeah, or those that are dead.
Or those who are dead.
The third option's always my favorite.
Oh, gosh.
He was a real cheery guy.
And that's a great way to end a show. For more information about the ARC of Philadelphia and positive things, arcphiladelphia.org. And ARC is A-R-C. arcphiladelphia.org. You'll be able to link to and find an ARC chapter that is close to you as well there. Joseph Mancini, he is the executive director of the ARC of Philadelphia. Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me. We really appreciate it.
You are always welcome back. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.